Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday, just to recap, we did two ahadith. We did a few ahadith, but two ahadith that of extra importance to us. One is that at the time when azan is called out, then du'as are answered. So we shouldn't lose this opportunity. Very often we hear the azan being called out. At that time, people unfortunately sometimes are talking, sometimes they're watching something, sometimes they're doing something unnecessary. So we should rather take advantage, answer the azan at the same time and make dua also. Because duas are being answered at that time when the azan is called out. The next thing we learn is at the time of the battle also, then duas are being answered. So these two occasions, we are maybe not involved in any battle, but daily we're hearing the azan, let us capture that occasion and that opportunity to make dua. The next thing we learned when dua, that when a person fears any enemy, he fears any harm, the dua that is to be read, Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we appoint you over their throats. In other words, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we appoint you to handle them. Wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. So this is the offensive part and the defensive part, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we ask you protection. We're asking you for protection from them. So you be our security company, you be our policing services, you be our bodyguards as far as their harm is concerned. Such a beautiful dua that Allah Pak, you take care of them and at the same time you be our protection from whatever evil that can come from them. So in this, under this, in Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Aliyah, in his RBT means autobiography, in his autobiography, his RBT, he's written an incident with regards to this dua. So he says that there was a person by the name of Babu Iyad Rahmatullah Ali. At that time in Delhi, in the Merkaz, he would go out and he'll buy the vegetables, he'll buy the food, whatever is needed for the Merkaz, he'll go out and he'll buy. So at one time there was very, very heavy problems that was taking place in Delhi. Very, very tense situation. In India, we know sometimes there's very tense situation between the Hindus and the Muslims, etc. So that once at a time there was a very tense situation. And at that time he needed to go out to buy the vegetables, to buy the things for the Merkaz. So he was sitting in a carriage. And when he was sitting in the carriage, there were a few Sikhs that were there. And they told him that we are going to kill you. So he told them very calmly that you can't do anything to me. So again they told him we will kill you. And like that they told him a few times that they will kill you. And he replied to them that you can't do anything to me. And it so happened that all the way through, they couldn't do anything to him. They didn't do anything to him. And he had come now to the Merkaz. And he explained this incident to Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Sheikh mentions that they asked him that how did you manage to say so calmly, so much of tension outside, and then you in one carriage where you got these Sikhs and they want to kill you, and you're so calm and you're so cool. So he said, I read this dua. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. I knew that because of the barakat of this dua, these people won't be able to do anything to me. The Sheikh specifically makes mention of this incident to show that how powerful these du'as are. Today we fear many type of harm from many type of people, but we should resort to du'a rather than just resorting to talk. And Abi Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu qal, jaa rajul inna nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam minaqatin makhtumatin faqala hadhihi fi sabilillah faqala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laka biha yawm al-qiyamah 700 ناقة كلها مختومة رواه مسلم. Hazrat Abu Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he mentions that a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a bridal camel. Bridal camel means it's got the bridle's reins on it. فَقَالَ هَذِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm giving this in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm giving it in charity in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him now, what is the reward for giving in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, for you on the day of Qiyamah will be 700 camels, each one of them will also be bridled. Every camel, 700, you're giving one, and you're giving seven, getting 700 in return. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is where we should be putting our investments. The investment of the dunya, if a person gets 10%, he's lucky. If he gets 20%, he has to be worried. If he gets 30%, he's got to be more worried. And if he's getting 100% return, then he should consider whether this is a Ponzi scheme or what scheme this is. But he should be very careful. Here we're getting, for one, a person is getting 700. 700. So look at the return that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a person. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة Wallahu yudha'ifu limay yasha, wallahu wasi'un 'alim. Beautiful example Allah Pak gives in the Quran of how Allah Pak multiplies. When a person, he plants a grain, that what we normally know as a mealy plant. Person plants, he plants one seed. That is his investment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example. The example of those who spend their wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a grain which grows 7 years. You see, when a thing grows, it grows 7 years. And in each year, Allah Pak says, in every year, there is 100 grains. So this person has got now a plant that has got 7 years with 100 grains. So he's got 700 times more return than just for that one seed that he had planted. Actually, if you plant one and you get 100, that is already 1000% return. Person is planting one and he's getting, person who plants one and he gets one, that is already 100% return. Now you take that and you multiply it by 100, and then I take and you multiply it by another 7. So 700 is mind-boggling, the figures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is something like 70,000% return. 70,000%, not 100%, not 200%, 70,000% return a person is getting. So Allah Pak is saying, Wallahu yudha'ifu limay yasha, Wallahu asyun alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases for himself, whomsoever he wishes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all embracing, all knowing. Ulama explained, is dependent on a person's ikhlas. The amount of sincerity you got when you're giving the charity, when you're giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accordingly Allah Pak increases their reward. And there is no limit by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu yudha'ifu limay yasha, Allah Pak increases for whoever he wishes. One more hadith will do. And Abi Hamad, wa yuqalu Abu Sa'ad, wa yuqalu Abu Asadin, wa yuqalu Abu Amir, wa yuqalu Abu Amrin, wa yuqalu Abu Al-Aswad, wa yuqalu Abu Absin, Uqbat ibn Amir al-Juhni radiyallahu anhu qal sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa ala al-mimbar yaqul wa'idu lahum mastata'tu min quwwah ala innal quwwata ar-ramyu ala innal quwwata ar-ramyu ala innal quwwata ar-ramyu. Abu Hamad Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu narrates that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whilst he was on the mimbar, I heard him saying this whilst he was on the mimbar, that prepare against them whatever force you can. In other words, make some preparations. Here we learn also something in deen. There is such a thing as preparation. The person doesn't go into any situation unprepared. That I had made no preparation. There was a meeting that was held. I came into the meeting without any preparations. I had a talk to give. I gave the talk without any preparations. I had a certain work to fulfill. I didn't make any preparations. This is not part of our deen. Here, in as far as jihad, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us. But this affects all other parts of our deen, that a person makes that necessary preparation. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, quoting the ayat of the Quran, وَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ, that prepare against them whatever force you can. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ الرَّمْيُ, power is in shooting. الرَّمْيُ actually is shooting arrows. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, power is in shooting 3 times. Ulama explained from this that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them that power in those days, that aerial warfare was what? Firing arrows. That was the aerial warfare that they had. They didn't have missiles. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left the words of this hadith. Look how general. Ala innal quwwata ar-ramyu. That power lies in shooting aerial. Power lies in aerial attack. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's word was just general. He could have said in shooting arrows. He could have been very specific in what he said. He just said, Allah inna al-quwwata ar-ramyu, that verily power lies in ar-ramyu, in firing and shooting. And in today's time, you can see that how the warfare has taken. That the aerial warfare is the warfare that has taken the missiles and the aerial bombardment that takes place with the aircrafts, etc. This is the type of war that is generally taking place. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that time has mentioned, so many years ago has mentioned, Allah inna al-quwwata ar-ramyu, that verily power lies in firing these missiles, lies in firing these arrows. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. As we go on, we'll see the different types of ahadith that come that show us that this opportunity that we got in this dunya is not something for us to waste. It's not something for us to waste. It's an opportunity. If we are not out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are preparing to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if you're not doing that, we're preparing in some way to help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a Muslim is never there wasting time. As the Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullahi, very often in his khankah, those people that went there and spent time, he would say, Pyaro hargiz mat bato. People don't ever speak. Don't waste your time speaking. Do some kaam, do some work. Either you're reading Quran, you're making some zikr, you're making some dua, you're helping some poor person, some weak person. You're doing some khidmat and service. You're not just wasting your time, because this time is very, very valuable. So we can learn from here that this time Allah Pak has given us is extremely valuable. We should always be using it in some good cause. Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, "Majalisul lahwi tunsir Quran." That the person unnecessarily wasting time in lahw. Lahw means just useless activities. Something that won't benefit him. He's sitting in front of the television now and he's watching one soccer match for so long, watching one cricket match, he's watching the news, he's doing other things that are very useless, got no. So he says, "Tunsil Quran." This will cause you to forget the Quran. Sometimes we don't realize that the person is even wasting time chatting on this group and that group, and you don't realize how harmful this can do. That majalisul lahwi tunsil Quran, it will cause you to forget the Quran. Ulama explained that it will even take away the enjoyment that a person gets from reciting Quran. It will take away the enjoyment that he gets from reciting Salah. Why he's engaging in those things that are completely futile. Therefore we have to be very careful of looking after this time. Prize will come, opportunities to mix and meet with people will keep on coming, but we got to see how we can protect this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And then it is explained that like how a sick person, when food is brought in front of him, he's not enjoying, he would relish that food. He's just eating, he's waking up from that hospital bed, just enough so that he can eat the food. People around him tell him, "You need to eat something," so he'll eat, but he's not taking any enjoyment from that food. So like that, when a person is engaged in useless activities, then that enjoyment also comes out. Allah Pak takes away that enjoyment from his actions, from the ibadat he does. And when a person cuts himself out from all unnecessary activities that are not important, that don't concern me, then Allah Pak puts that mitas, puts that enjoyment. Although we don't do it for enjoyment, our maqsad is not enjoyment, but Allah Pak has an added ni'mat and benefit. Allah Pak gives him that enjoyment in his salat, gives him that enjoyment in his zikr, gives him that enjoyment in his Quran. So the person gets so much more just by cutting himself out from those things that are unnecessary. May Allah Pak give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.